Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
You're listening to the Best of the Drive. Catch up on the show here every day. Or listen weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's today's Best of the Drive.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Carrington here, Rob here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in exactly 1 hour, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, will be on the show. The Royals are at the 40-game mark. We'll talk to him about that. Josh Vernier will be on the show here coming up in just a little bit. Before we catch up with Vern and recap the first 40 games of the Royals season, I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. One of the all-time great NBA playoff dunks happened, and it happened by a former Jayhawk.
Brunson defends, snaps it outside to Wiggins. Goes by Bullock! Oh! Drops the sledgehammer!
Successful challenge by Steve Kerr and the Warriors. It's not a offensive foul on Andrew Wiggins, nor is it a defensive foul on Luka Doncic, but it is a good bucket and poster by Andrew Wiggins.
If you haven't gotten the opportunity to see the Andrew Wiggins dunk from yesterday, stop what you were doing and go watching. It is one of the greatest dunks in the history of the NBA playoffs, and I've thought a lot about Andrew Wiggins' career here over the last couple of days. It looks like Golden State is going to go to another NBA final, and I think they'll be the favorite in the NBA finals. And it's funny because if you haven't seen a lot of Andrew Wiggins since he left the University of Kansas, I am here to tell you that Andrew Wiggins is the exact same player that he was at KU. Offensively, defensively, athletically, all the good and positives that you liked about Andrew Wiggins, he still has all of those. All of the negatives, the tendencies to kind of disappear at times. I used to call him Casper. Sometimes he was there, sometimes he wasn't. He still has all of those tendencies. It's not a shock to me that when Andrew Wiggins got the opportunity to be a number one or a number two on a team, it didn't fit his style or his personality at all. He played with a really good big in Karl Anthony Towns and had a chance to be the man, had a chance to be a franchise player, someone who could carry an organization. Andrew Wiggins failed miserably at that. It's hard to be a leader with his personality and those traits. He then got traded. He went to a situation in Golden State that has allowed him to flourish. They're not dependent on him the same way that Minnesota was. He can be a 16, 17 points a night guy, focus on defense, be able to knock down open shots, use his athleticism, and he has found a great role in Golden State. He's not their best player. He's not their second best player, not their third best player, but he fits exactly what they need. He is exactly what this team needs to potentially win another NBA championship. He has found his perfect situation. He wasn't a number one. He wasn't really a strong number two, but he can be a key piece in what you're trying to do. I was thinking earlier today about how that relates to Mecole Hardman. We've seen 3 years of Mecole Hardman, in various roles. We've seen him be the two at times. We've seen him be the three. We've seen him be the four or a gadget player, so to speak. And he's never given off the vibe that he could really be your number one wide receiver. I don't think he's been consistent enough where you feel like he can be your number two receiver, but you've always seen the flashes and you know the ability and athleticism is there. This is going to be, to me, a really interesting year to sort of have exactly pinpoint the kind of player that Mecole Hardman is. The Chiefs are betting that there is another level, that there is another ceiling. This offense is dependent on Mecole Hardman in a way that they have never been in his career. This team needs the good version of Mecole Hardman. They need him to be a guy who could have 900, 950 yards, maybe 1,000 yards receiving. That some of you may laugh at that. It is not that far-fetched. Is Mecole Hardman just a really good role player? Or is he a guy that this season, when given the opportunity, and the opportunities are certainly going to be there, he's been in this offense, he knows this offense, he should be further along than Juju Smith-Schuster, who hasn't been here. He should be further along than MVS, further along than Sky Moore. He's now become the veteran in that room. Is he Andrew Wiggins, a really talented player that is simply only a role player? And that's not a knock. You can make a lot of money being a great role player in the league. But this offense, I think, is going to need him to be a pretty consistent number two wide receiver, or at times be able to be their number one. And if he can develop into being their number one or number two receiver, there's going to be a lot of money at the end of this season. But we all watched Wiggins when he was in Kansas, and we all knew the tendencies. There was no next step. There was no next level. At this point, a lot of people have formed their conclusion on Mecole Hardman. Right or wrong, we've seen 3 years of Mecole Hardman. This will be the season to prove people right or prove people wrong. A lot of you think that he is a third wide receiver and a gadget player, and some of you have given up on Mecole Hardman. He will have 17 games to prove a lot of people wrong, as he will certainly get the opportunities and targets in this offense in a way that he has never had before in a Chiefs uniform. We'll talk some NBA playoffs over the course of the day. Yes, we're talking about the NBA playoffs. We are almost at the finals. So the NBA conversation is quickly coming to an end, but we will talk about the NBA playoffs today. But we got to talk about the Royals, right?
But the Royals leading 6-0, it looked like a piece of cake, but the cake is now on the kitchen floor.
It was. I know you guys want me to be more positive. And you know what? This week, I'm going to really try to be more positive. I'm going to really try to be more glass half empty than glass half full this week. We got a holiday weekend coming up. I'm going on vacation. Rob's going on vacation. There's no reason to be down. We're going to see Top Gun later today. I'm in a fantastic mood. Look outside, the weather. It's beautiful outside. Nice spring heading into summer. Wear your light windbreaker outside, maybe have you a drink on a patio. It's beautiful outside. I'm not going to let the Royals bring me or you down today. They certainly tried their hardest yesterday to bring us down, but I'm not going to let them bring us down today. We're at the 40-game mark. We'll have Josh Verner join us on the show. He'll do his best to not bring us down today, but let's have a good week. That's my promise to you. Let's have a good week. We talked about the Royals in the open, so that can only mean one thing. Hit me, Rob.
We're where you want to be.
Today's random Royals lineup is a flashback to the last time the Royals were over 500 at the 40-game mark.
This was what, like 97?
This was 2015.
Ah.
It's been a cool 7 years since they were over 500 at the quarter pole. Leading off, Alcides Escobar playing shortstop.
Alcides Escobar. You guys remember when you would just tell me all the time that I look like Alcides Escobar? That was a dark time for me. It was a dark time for me. One time I was at, I can't remember what game it was. It was the series they had against the Toronto Blue Jays. And I had the woman behind me convinced that I had those seats because Alcides Escobar was my cousin and he gave them to me. She was 100% convinced of my story. That me and Alcides Escobar were related.
Yikes.
It was a dark time for me.
Batting second at third base with a three-hit day on this day in 2015, Mike Moustakas.
Moose!
Batting third.
Can I tell you a Mike Moustakas story? I don't know if I've ever told you this story before. So I was at this function, and his then-fiance was at the function. Mike Moustakas came up to me and said, I'm thinking about wearing a top hat in my wedding. His wife did not seem very excited about the possibility of Mike Moustakas wearing a top hat at his wedding. He then asked me, well, what do you think? And I said, when you have kids and they look at this picture 20 years from now, do you want them to laugh at you for wearing that hat? He said that was a really good point. He didn't wear a top hat in the wedding. I saved the marriage of the Moustakases.
Well done.
Thank you. That's why I'm here. I'm here to help. Positivity all week.
Batting third, the center fielder, Lorenzo Cain.
Lo Cain. I don't have a story about him.
Batting fourth, the first baseman, Eric Hosmer.
That was my guy. I miss Eric Hosmer.
Batting fifth, the DH, Kendrys Morales.
This was a great time.
Good lineup.
This was a great time.
Batting sixth, the left fielder, Alex Gordon.
Oh, man. What a time.
Batting seventh, the catcher, and some people believe a Hall of Famer one day, Salvador Perez.
You say some people. You don't believe he's going to be a Hall of Famer?
I think he's on the path. I don't know if he's locked yet right now, but we'll see.
I don't think he's a lock, but...
I'm just saying, if you have a potential Hall of Famer in the seventh spot, you got to bring your lineup.
No, you absolutely do. I mean, you really got potential Hall of Famers up and down that lineup. The Royals Hall of
Fame. That's true.
Hey-o!
Batting eighth, your guy, second baseman, Omar Infante.
Love him.
Almost an all-star.
Drive all-star.
And batting ninth, the right fielder, Paulo Orlando. Jeremy Guthrie.
They can't all be winners, huh? They can't all be winners.
Someone's got to bat nine.
To be honest, though, Paul Orlando right now would probably hit second on this team.
I mean, he would be the OPS hero of this team. Jeremy Guthrie went six strong innings, giving up no runs.
Jeremy Guthrie.
They then handed off to Ryan Madsen, Wade Davis, and Luke Hochaver, who gave up a combined no runs. The Royals won 7-1.
Someone said, that's a really great lineup. That team must have done well that year. I don't know. We'll have to go back and do our Googles. When was this?
2015. I mean, if you're over 500 the 40-game mark, you're on the path.
Yeah.
That team was 26-14 the 40-game mark. This team is the inverse, 14-26.
I will be very curious to find out how that 2015 Royals team did. I mean, they got off to a really good start, 26-14 at the 40-game mark. I wonder how it finished for them. They make the playoffs? Did they do anything in the playoffs? I don't know. We'll have to see. Another bat time, another bat channel. We'll find out. But that's the last time the Royals were over 500 at the 40-game mark.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
Hi, Carrington. Doing fine. Thank you. Look forward to next week.
On your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Have you ever been to a restaurant before? And let's say you hated it. The experience didn't go very well. You don't go back. And then one day, you see a sign that says, under new management or new owners. You think to yourself, all right, I'll give it another try. Maybe the food was bad. Maybe you didn't get good service. Maybe you got sick. Whatever reason why you had a bad experience, the possibility of it being new gets you to go back to said restaurant. I think why the Royals are having such a difficult time in getting people to believe that the power structure is different, that things have changed with the Royals, is everything about this experience feels so familiar. We've been at this place so many times with this organization where you've gotten your hopes up and couldn't wait to watch them. And 3-4 weeks into the season, all of that positive energy that you had towards the team, they have completely eroded away any of that goodwill. Maybe things are different with the Royals. They've got a new owner. They've got a new general manager. I've heard the same things at Vern, that they do have a different power structure. But if you're doing everything so different, why is it the same bad service? Why does the food still stink? Everything about this experience feels so familiar. So it's really difficult for you to communicate to your consumers that it's different this time. What's been different? I look at the Royals lineup for today. We're at the 40-game mark. We are a week away from Memorial Day. Carlos Santana is their designated hitter today. Not playing first base. He is their designated hitter today. The Royals DH is hitting 140 today. How can you put that person in to only hit today and also in the same breath tell me that things are different? Because that sounds like Allard Bayard Royals. That sounds like Buddy Bell Royals. Tony Pena Royals. I've seen this movie before. They just need to show us something different. And so far, nothing about this experience feels any different than what we've grown up with and known with the Royals. Especially when Dayton Moore himself basically came out and said, I'm still the general manager. This is from September 14th of last year.
That's how we've always made decisions. We don't make decisions in a vacuum. We work together. And every once in a while, someone has to press that leadership button and say, the tie is now broken. And I'll be the one to ultimately have to do that.
Then you're still the general manager. If you're the person that ultimately is responsible for the major decisions and pressing the big button, then you are the one that's still in charge. JJ has some power, has a voice. He maybe has more of a voice than he had. But if Dayton is the one who has final say, and his decision is the way that the group is going to go, then he's the one that is running the ship. He's the one that put this roster together. That's not new. That's not different. That's more of the same that we're accustomed to and used to. So Vern and people who are in the know can certainly sell us on this, and I've heard the same thing too. But if Dayton is coming out and saying, well, I've got final say, and if we disagree, I'm the one that can make the final call, then you're still in charge.
If it's more of the same, well, then the ball's in John Sherman's court. Well, then we're going to see what kind of owner he is. I had someone bring up on the postgame show last night about the Chiefs going 2-14. We all remember what Clark Hunt did after that. He said, to hell with this. Here we go. I'm taking charge. Andy, you're not going anywhere. You're coming to Kansas City. You're our head coach. And we all know what's happened with that franchise since their owner took the bull by the horns. If it is same old, same old, I don't believe it is. I think J.J. Piccolo's running a different ship as general manager with the Royals. But if I'm wrong, well, then John Sherman, the ball's in his court to do something.
How much of the ship can you be running if you can get outruled? If your decision can be overturned by someone else, then the person who has the ability to overturn it is the person that is in charge. Another thing, too, that I think is very difficult for people to sort of wrap their minds around is Dayton is as visible as he was when he was the general manager. Dayton still does radio interviews. He's still out and about. He didn't fall back from anything, at least not to us. Dayton still goes on Fesco, right? And answers the same questions he was answering before. So he carries himself like the general manager. He makes the final decisions like the general manager, but he ain't the general manager. You can't sell me BS. I know the prices. You're running things. So if you want to convince all of us that things are different, then either turn it around and win games, or you got to have a completely different power structure. You got to have a completely different power structure. And I just don't believe that their power structure is that different. I just purposely don't believe it. I'm not buying it. And I don't know how you guys could be buying it too, based on what we've seen.
I mean, have we seen any operational changes? The same old Royals from last year when they were doing the same old stuff is the same as now. Last year on the show, we talked about it. Why are they still running Jorge Soler out there? He wasn't hitting. He wasn't any good. There was hope and a prayer that we can keep this expensive player and he can get hot. And then in July, we can get a prospect. That's the goal. That was Dayton Moore's regime. They're doing the same thing right now with Carlos Santana. There's no difference. They're on a hope and a prayer. He's going to play every day. They're going to hope he gets hot and turn him into a prospect. It's the same. The power structure may have changed this offseason, but if you're doing the same stuff, no one believes the changes are real. No one.
Vern made a good point. This just feels like a rerun.
It's 2022 just basically being the caboose on a disappointing 2021. Everything feels very much like a rerun. And look, there's way too much new entertainment content out there that people aren't going to watch a rerun unless you're one of the greats, right? We talk about Tom Cruise's great movies. We could talk about great television shows. You'll watch those reruns. You're not going to watch the 2021 Royals again, and that's what they're putting on the field.
You have more entertainment options than you've ever had before. Whether it's radio, podcasts, social media, streaming services, there are more options for entertainment than we have ever had before. And everybody feels it. The competition to get your disposable income is fierce. The Royals, at least this season, haven't really put together a team that excites you and wants that you want to go out and support, that you want to go buy a ticket for and watch and cheer and root and continue to follow them develop in that way. You'll listen on the radio. You'll turn it on TV if you can. If you're out somewhere and it's on television, you'll watch it. But I really believe that we are seeing a sense of apathy regarding the Royals that I just can't remember seeing. That some of you just have simply checked out on the Royals and checked out like not in like a funny ha-ha way, hey, they got us a training camp. Like tuned out in a way and seem really frustrated and disappointed by what they've handed you. That I don't care how good you feel about the World Series in 2015. At some point, they got to hand you something else. They got to hand you a 79-win season. They got to hand you a young, promising all-star pitcher. Bobby Wood Jr. needs to turn into a star. They got to hand you something that would lead you to believe that they can do it again or that their way is working. And so far, it just hasn't been working.
You're listening to Carrington Harrison.
We're not talking about Kansas on this show.
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
So Peter King of NBC Sports, he did his power ranking today after the draft, his first power ranking of the year. He had the Rams as the top team in the NFC, certainly understandable. And he had some questions about the Rams, but his larger point was there's only so many questions I can have because the Rams still have their big four intact. Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, Matthew Stafford, and Jalen Ramsey. And all of those things coupled with their coach give you a baseline of being a really good team that can win your division and obviously can win the Super Bowl as we saw last year. And it got me thinking, well, what's the Chiefs' big four? I think I know three of them, but I was really struggling to figure out who the fourth person was. In my opinion, the best quarterback in the league in Patrick Mahomes. You've got top three tight end in the NFL. I think there's starting to be some sentiment that Mark Andrews is past them, but let's not argue about it. one of the top players at his position in the NFL in Travis Kelce, a guy who is one day going to reside in Canton, Ohio, as one of the greatest players to ever play his position, and is certainly one of the top pass catchers and top players in the league. Chris Jones, one of the top defensive linemen in the league, one of the top players at his position in the league, a guy that can go out there, get you 8 sacks, play with great energy, a fan favorite type. I was really struggling on who the fourth person was. It used to be Tyrann Mathieu. If we were having this conversation a year ago, I think we would have said that those are the big four for the Kansas City Chiefs. You won a Super Bowl with those four. You've been to multiple AFC championship games with those four players being your pillar, being your foundation. But they obviously lost one of those players this offseason. Rob, who do we consider to be the fourth player in this? I was really struggling to figure out who it is. Because you can't really say it's a left tackle or a left guard, even though that's probably where the strength of this team is. If you said that Creed Humphrey's one of the four most important players on this team or four best players on this team, I don't know if I could fight you that much. Or if you said it was Joe Tooney or Trey Smith or whether it was the left guard, Orlando Brown. I don't know who the fourth person is. There's no more Tyrann Mathieu. There's no more not Travis Kelce. There's no more Tyreek Hill. The fourth player is just kind of up for grabs right now. Like, is Justin Reed the fourth most important player on this team moving forward? I don't think so. I think the answer is Snead. I think he's the right answer. I think he's their number one corner. I think he has a chance this season to really take the next step and put himself in a phenomenal grouping. I think that's the right answer, but I don't really have a great answer for it. Do you have one?
It's funny you said Snead, because as you were doing the exercise, I thought to myself, you're right, because like Nick Bolton might be an answer, or one of the linemen might be an answer, and that's not a good spot to be in. The name I came across was Trent McDuffie. If Trent McDuffie's the guy they talk about him being, if he's a lockdown corner with great ball skills who can take the ball away and maybe the true number one corner, that shutdown lockdown guy, doesn't exist, so he's not that. But if he's one of the premier corners in the NFL, then it's Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie is that guy. He's sight unseen, so we don't know. I don't think it can be Snead, because I've seen Snead get cooked too often to think he can take a next big step. But I think the answer is Trent McDuffie. I think it has to be Trent McDuffie.
A lot of people on the text line are saying Nick Bolton. Text line 913-576-7610. Nick Bolton is the next man up. Another person, Nick Bolton is the fourth guy you're talking about. You just don't realize it because he was a rookie last year. With Hitchens gone, get ready for Bolton to go into beast mode. You guys don't got to sell me on Nick Bolton. Hashtag MIZ. Can your fourth best player be a player that doesn't get to the quarterback? Like, think about the four players that we're talking about for the Rams. And they're probably an extreme of this, but it's also the highest ceiling. We're talking about the number one wide receiver in the league, the number one defensive tackle in the league, the number one cornerback in the league, and a quarterback that people are debating if he could be a Hall of Famer or not. Nick Bolton is a phenomenal player. He had 0 sacks last year. I think he's a really good player. I don't know if Nick Bolton can be in your big four. I just don't think the positional value is there enough for him to be in your big four. Is he a player that's going to get a bunch of tackles next year? Is he a player that makes an impact on the game? Of course. But is he one of your four pillar players? I don't think he can be. I personally wouldn't put Nick Bolton in the four. I think it needs to be, to your point, a player like Trent McDuffie, a corner who has 4 or 5 interceptions, can go lock down the other team's best receiver, or it needs to be a player like Justin Reed where his value is so high, he just can do a little bit of everything. He can play strong safety, he can play free safety, he can play up in the box if you need him to. Basically what you have with Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, I mean, basically what it boils down to me is positional value. You took the words right out of my mouth. I think most teams, when they look at their top four, are in some capacity going to have quarterback, pass catcher, pass rusher, and some sort of corner or elite safety, a hybrid type. you guys know how I feel about linebacker. It's the running back of defense. And it positionally value doesn't work that way. But I don't think Nick Bolton can play less than 50% of the snaps last season, and we just walk up and say he's one of the four key players for the Chiefs. He's a good player. He makes an impact. He's great against the run, and I think he's loved because he's good, but he's double loved because of MIZ stuff. But we're seeing a guy who played, what, 50% of the snaps last season, jumps up and becomes the fourth most important player on the Chiefs? That's not a leap you see players make.
Text line 913-576-7610. I think Juju could be the one. I won't fight you on that. I don't know if he can be that guy today. Like, I don't know if you can definitively put him, all right, hey, Mahomes is your one, Kelsey's your two, Jones is your three. We're going to go ahead and put Juju Smith-Schuster in as the four. I think it's going to be really tough for one of those wide receivers because there's so much competition in this conversation. There's just a lot of competition where Juju could be their number one wide receiver or their number three wide receiver, and it wouldn't shock me. Sky Moore could come out of the training camp and be this team's number two wide receiver or be their number four receiver.
If the Chiefs get playoff Frank Clark, is he fourth?
I've
never seen that, but
I'm
just saying.
I don't think he exists.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't think he exists. Text line 913-576-7610. Isn't it a good thing that there are 10 players that are solid that you could put them all at four? I think that question right there is basically the Chiefs in 2022. Like, your question there is, when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, we didn't need to have this conversation. In fact, we were debating on who you would have as the four because they had five or six of those guys. Well, they got three of those guys this year, and they got eight or nine people that we can argue can be the other one. Is that enough? I mean, that is the Chiefs in a nutshell. They don't have a traditional next star. They have a couple of people that can take that next step. Text line 913-576-7610. Charger. Open your eyes. Nick Bolton was playing from end to end. He's a baller. You guys don't have to tell me about Nick Bolton. You guys don't got to convince me that Nick Bolton's good. You might got to convince Rob about Nick Bolton. You don't got to convince me that he's good. I'm simply saying, for a player that just doesn't get to the quarterback, can that be your fourth guy? I don't know if that guy can be fourth. That guy can be like seventh or eighth, though. But what about Luke Kuechly? I mean, is Nick Bolton going to be a Hall of Famer at his position? I mean, Luke Kuechly is probably going to. I would vote for Luke Kuechly to go to the Hall of Fame. I think Patrick Willis is going to go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, if you're telling me he's going to turn into a Hall of Fame player, then we could be having a very different conversation about Nick Bolton and him being in the top four.
You are the certified Nick Bolton hater on the show. That's your role.
I love Nick Bolton. I think Nick Bolton is a guy that just makes plays.
All last year, I heard one person on the show yelling, Nick Bolton stinks, yeah, and it was you.
You guys don't got to sell me on how good Nick Bolton is. I know. If I had to fill this out, I'd put it at four. I'd put Snead at four. I think Snead's their fourth person in this big four. But to the texter's point, I think there's 17 people it could be. And I think at its core, that's what the Chiefs are.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.